Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. Today's actually going to be a very interesting day because I'm actually going to walk you through the academic argument for Republic Review. And so we're going to literally discuss. So if you have questions, if you've read Republic Review, or even if you've looked at the model and have questions, now would be a good day to, you know, delve into this. So you can wait or you can head me off at the pass and say, okay, I've got some questions. We can leap ahead and then get back to it. But I want to let you know that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show with the tangible solution that Madison and Jefferson actually applied in 1798. They failed because they could not get their other states to join Virginia and Kentucky. That does not mean that we will fail this time. And as a matter of fact, I believe that their failure will lead to our success. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. That would be 215-TOP, T-O-P-T-A-L-K, for those of you who like to use your phone to spell it out. I think it's just a little easier to remember that way, but anywho, let me kind of jump ahead into groveling. Nothing like that good old moment of humility and castigating oneself or going prostrate or prone. And so if you have a phone, if you have a computer, if you want to help with research and what have you, you will get the credit. I mean, this is not about GR. Anybody that is jumping in, anybody that wants to lead, anybody that wants to help, I'm sure that's the same thing on the Constitution Club. If you want to help take lead and efforts on that, I'm sure Keith would be happy to, you know, have you share or receive all the credits. As that's one of the things I always did as a Marine and as a leader within engineering. I always made sure that those people who did the work got the recognition. I can't tell you how many times I would stand in formation and listen to Marines getting awarded, like officers and senior enlisted, getting awards at the work and the hard work and dedication on those Marines that worked under them while they received all the accolades for somebody else's work. Don't like it. Didn't like getting the short end of that a few times. And so I do not practice that. So if you want, and if you're afraid that you won't get the credit, by all means, I do believe bylines and or credit is always critical as a part of doing the work, because that's, you know, it's one thing to be noble enough to get involved in the problem and engaging in the solution. But I think it's also important that people get recognized for their great contributions throughout the endeavor. So anyway, give me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and or you can just join the Constitution Club, and that would be constitutionclub.ning.com. And that way, one of those ways, you'll be able to actually just jump in and get involved. So one of the ways you can also get involved is continue to help people understand that this show is on, the content of the show. As I see, the show is definitely growing. So as the show has grown, I think this is a great day to actually kind of walk through the bullets of the irrefutable argument as well as the process itself. So with that, let me kind of just leap forward. I see zero signs in the news today that the federal government will ever relinquish their powers. And as a matter of fact, as I look at some of the comments that are coming out of the former Obama administration hacks, or whatever you want to call them, more specifically, who was the Department of Justice dolt? Well, you know what? It's in the news, and it's right there on Fox News. I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. Help me out. Anybody know? He was the guy that was involved and basically got caught with Eric Holder. That's, thank you very much, producer. Anyway, he's the guy that got caught and involved with the, what was that? The gun running, it wasn't Able Danger. The gun running of giving away automatic weapons and so forth to the Mexican cartel. And those guns ended up, Fast and Furious, they ended up coming back up through the border and actually killing a couple of Border Patrol agents. So with that, there's just no way they're going to relinquish their power, which means that we, you and I, are going to have to contribute some effort into doing this. And so with that, I want to kind of give you what I would say as something to think about. A prevailing question that I have been asking for a long time since I started running this show is this: what is it going to take for you to step up and get involved, to utilize those leadership skills that you possess and start leading those people around you in also stepping up and joining in this effort? What is that one thing? What is that chip on your shoulder that needs to be knocked off to get you engaged? I see all sorts of evidence all the time. I'm bringing it up all the time as to what and why we need to get engaged. I know that this is an educational program, but it's hopefully not just an educational program, but a motivational program as well. I don't believe that you, you don't think you're important and or you can't contribute. How about that? That makes sense. And I want to tell you that you, even the least, I mean, you know, that old chain analogy, we're only as strong as the weakest link in the chain. And I don't believe that anybody standing up is a weak link, because all that takes is courage. It just requires a little bit of effort. And as a matter of fact, most successful teams are actually teams that can adapt with what they have. I will tell you, and I'll go back to, in sports, there have been teams that had just solid teams. They had zero superstars. They didn't need anybody that was really the big name guy. And I'll give you that one of the 2001 Mariners. The Mariners had just some really good, solid utility players, fielders, and spin pitchers and so forth. They didn't have anybody that I remember that was just leading in stats and dominating. And they didn't have anybody that had a superstar contract or anything like that. They literally won, I think it was 116 games that year. They were on pace to actually winning the World Series. However, that little thing called 9/11 and flying and those other things just literally changed the paradigm. But that's not an aberration. There have been many teams and there have been many organizations that have been able to pull together just good, solid people that they didn't need superstars. We don't necessarily need to have, you know, a George Washington. It would be great. I'm not going to turn George Washington away. I would be, you know, honored, and it would be a privilege to work with him. I don't limit to who is wanting to come and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in getting involved in this. There's no limitations on that. Anybody and everybody are welcome. But I will just say this, that as you start thinking about what you can do, I just want you to know that whatever that is, it is important, and that contribution is critical. Maybe you'll find courage when you look at the empirical data that the brown shirt antifas are getting away with. I mean, just recently, they got away with attacking elderly and handicapped in Portland. I mean, they're picking on the weakest of us. I guess that helps build their confidence, right? That they can beat up. That's the classic bully. Since when did America even stand for allowing bullies to act like this? Really? As I have pointed out to you, and as I have pointed out in the fiascos of the Carolinas, the D.C. protests, and in plenty of other places, Portland being one, Seattle another, down at Berkeley another, and so forth. And as a matter of fact, there's been lots of police that have been actually, with public records requests, been called out for failing to do their job in protecting the public. And so bottom line, the Antifa and other hardcore leftists who are using these brown shirt tactics have been, and they've been literally relying upon the police to deliberately have the police stand back and not get involved to allow them to hurt and harm innocent people. So what they are doing is they're creating a marketing scheme to say basically, hey, unless you want to get a bloody nose, don't even step into this because we mean business. What they're using are pure intimidation tactics. I don't believe that we're dealing with just a bunch of misguided youth. I believe what we're dealing with are weaponized children. I would ask you to read Sun Tzu's The Art of War. I have read it a few times. It was mandatory reading when I was in the Marine Corps. And I will tell you that the principles that are taught within that book are being applied in these thug tactics. These principles also just jump out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and other types of books like that. They know what they are doing. I will just say that I got to wrap this up when we come back, but I'm going to tell you, they know what they're doing, and they're using tactics that have worked for thousands of years. And they believe that we won't recognize these tactics and then call them out for it and actually smash their nose in and literally take the rules and take the Constitution back. And we can do that without guns and a bullet. I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. As I was just going to say, before we went into the hard break, and this is why I didn't want to say this going into the break. America needs you. Your children need you, and your grandchildren, and your posterity need you. Just like America needed the framers to do what they had to do. I understand that the leftists, these communists, are not only using a frontal assault methodology. They are also using a camel's nose in the tent approach. As a matter of fact, I just heard, I forget her name, her Jawanda Green or something like that. She's a known communist socialist, and she's basically saying, why can't we have both communism and socialism? That is the camel's nose in the tent approach. They're basically trying to get you to say, you know what, well, let's just have a little bit of both. That way, you know, we don't surrender completely. All that does is empower and they gain more ground. Just like I went through yesterday, every inch of real estate that they gain, they do not surrender. They are fighting and they're fighting like rabid dogs, trying not to surrender any ground. That's why the Kavanaugh post was very important for them to try to defend that. And I'm hoping, I am praying that what ended up happening, that fiasco, and the fact that they were literally using every dirty trick under the book and just actually becoming repugnant in their behavior, I'm hoping that that reflects this November 6th at the election in the polls, so that we actually see a huge surge and a red wave instead of losing any ground. We have to stop being the party of compromise. Every time it is we, the good people, that are giving up our morals and our principles as well as our nation. We have to stop this. They are using lies and deceit. And the Me Too movement, by the way, has been just boosted with steroids. And it is becoming the facade for a frontal attack. It even happened in high school where these girls, these mean girls, alleged that a boy assaulted her. The parents are finally going after these girls for these false accusations because really they failed to have evidence and they failed to have any corroboration. And he had a solid alibi. So bottom line, they're now going after these girls. I hope these girls go away for a long time. I truly believe in the ideology that anybody that wants to destroy somebody with allegations and lies, it's one thing when somebody's committed a crime, but it's another thing when somebody is literally making false accusations just to try to hurt somebody, then those people need to suffer the consequences of what they are accusing that person for. If it's rape, and it's a mandatory 15 years, bye-bye, you're gone for 15 years. You don't even get any opportunity for good behavior or anything. Sorry. You should have thought about that. There was a reason why we had capital punishment, a very quick and with extreme prejudice back in the old days, because it made sure that people understood that there are consequences to your behavior. Now, I'm not sure how many innocent people were hung and processed. I'm sure there were a few. I know that the system isn't perfect, but the system was designed to get people to behave. That's what society has to do. Remember, government's primary role is to protect life and protect property. So with that, I cannot impress upon you enough that you really need to understand how important you are in this. It's not just about voting. Yeah, listening and helping the show grow, that helps. I appreciate that. But that is not enough either. The day is going to come and the time is going to come when that chip is going to get knocked off your shoulder. Are you ready to get involved? Are you ready to act? I hope so. I pray so, because understanding what you have to do when that time comes is a huge help. One of the reasons why I'm telling people are going, well, what if you don't get this through? I believe that if I can educate the state legislators, all 7,383 of them, then I hope and pray that when the time comes, when the federal government and the debtors and all the world come crashing in upon us saying we can't service our debt, we're going to have to surrender and get rid of the Constitution. I hope at that point, the state legislators stand up and go, we're sorry, you can't do that. And oh, by the way, we're going to audit you to find out how much of this debt is legitimate. We're going to audit you and go through this process. We won't go into conservatorship under the state of another country. We will take care of this ourselves because we are the sovereigns and have the principal power over all things not delegated. and we believe that there is enough evidence to prove that you have tried to destroy us by exerting powers that you have had no delegation to or no legitimacy to, period. And so with that, what I want to do is I kind of want to walk through these bullet points, if you want to call it that. It's my outline for Republic Review, and so I truly believe this is an irrefutable argument. If you have any questions, if there is something you want to bring up, let's say as I'm walking through this, it's down the road, just call in. We can jump ahead or we can go back and say, well, what do you mean by this? By all means. Again, this is supposedly an educational program as well as a motivational program as well as a program that provides the definitive solution. So, the first thing that you've got to understand that in accordance with Article 7 of the Constitution is a contract written for and by the states. And so what does it say? What does Article 1 say? Because I might as well walk through some of these for you, or Article 7, I mean. And Article 7 is this: the ratification of the conventions of 9 states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this constitution or contract between the states. See, they're stating it right there. This is a contract between the states, so ratifying the same. The legal definition of ratification is, quote, the action of signing or giving formal consent to a treaty, contract, or agreement, making it officially valid. That's the legal definition. And oh, by the way, you'll love this. It was the same definition back then. The word ratification really hasn't meandered or wandered off to meaning something different. It actually means the same thing now as it did back then. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that nice? The next point that you have to understand in this first assertion that in accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a contract, for the contract to be given force, it required a threshold of stakeholders to buy in, or states to buy in. And right there in Article 7, it states 9 states would be sufficient. Now, most people will tell you that they recognized I got to pull it up, but they recognized when the 9th state actually ratified the Constitution that they considered the Constitution and the federal government valid, and that was New Hampshire, and they did it on June 21st. However, there was no celebration because they knew that they needed either New York or Virginia, who either or two had not ratified yet, and I believe both were in conventions at the time, to actually ratify. Because, and this is a big important because the majority of the population existed in Virginia. The majority of the commerce flowing into the colonies was coming in through New York and Virginia. That's where most of the commerce was flowing out of as well. They were both instrumental in making them a part of the Union. And so when Virginia ratified the Constitution on June 25th, I will tell you that was probably the ratification day, because even Washington and the rest of the delegates in the Virginia, they didn't celebrate, and the rest of the states really didn't celebrate until Virginia came on board. As I have told you, in going through the ratification process, the reason why New York was really struggling and just dragging their feet in this ratification process, and why Hamilton was literally stalling. I mean, he was literally going through hyperbole, and he was going through political theories and all sorts of stuff that people are going, what has this got to do with anything? He was doing that to buy time, waiting for the news, because you got to remember, it was a month later when New York ratified. It took a couple of weeks for that news to finally get to them that, hey, Virginia had ratified. It took a little time for news to travel around. And so by that time, Madison was just basically, or Hamilton was basically waiting for people to start realizing what they were going to miss if they did not ratify this. And that is one of the reasons why New York, when the new government formed, actually went in with a petition to call for, because they had an Article 5 petition that they applied in the very first congressional session right there in May, that they were literally asking for another constitutional convention to amend the Constitution. And what they wanted to do, along with Virginia, was that they wanted to literally neuter the federal government. And so that's why both states had submitted calls for an Article 5 convention, which was going to be literally to rewrite the Constitution again. So with that, let me get back to the irrefutable argument when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned. I've got a lot more for you. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Let me also tell you this, that you can find this outline for the irrefutable argument on reclaimingtherepublic.org right there on the homepage. If you just scroll down a little bit, you will actually see the irrefutable argument for Republic Review and then Republic Review in bullet format. So I've already kind of gone through bullet one and the sub-bullets. Bullet two, in accordance with Article 7 and Article 5, the states are the principal stakeholders of this contract, and only the states possess the ultimate say or ultimate sovereignty over the contract. Thus, only the states could ratify the Constitution. If you notice, SCOTUS didn't ratify it. It doesn't allow Congress to ratify it because those entities did not exist. For those entities to be created, they needed to have 9 states, or actually 10, buy into this concept of creating this general government to service the republic. Furthermore, only the states that possess the authority to ratify amendments. There is nowhere in the Constitution where the federal government has the authority to ratify its own amendments, granting itself new delegated powers. That has to come through the states. And the bar is 3/4 of the states have to approve. Conversely, this is the final bullet for bullet two. Conversely, the Constitution does not grant the authority to the Supreme Court, the President, or Congress to ratify the Constitution or an amendment to the Constitution, which is basically what I just told you. And it's very important that we understand this, that the states really are the supreme being or the supreme entities over this Constitution, which is why the Virginia and Kentucky and Virginia nullification or not nullification resolutions and the ratification debates are very critical in understanding the state's role and responsibility over the Constitution. So let me jump down into bullet three. In accordance with the 9th and 10th Amendments, the states are the sovereigns and have supremacy over all things not delegated to the general government. In other words, the federal government within this contract. In other words, if it's not listed or enumerated, as I have read many times out of the ratification debates, then the federal government has no business meddling with it, doing with it. They have no jurisdiction over it. I hope you understand this. I've said this several times. The federal government has no jurisdiction over life, over health care, over energy, over education, so forth and so on. Even over justice, they only have the ability to inject themselves in the cases of counterfeiting, piracy on the high seas, as well as treason, and that's about it. There's a couple of other little things, but that's it. They don't have the ability to create laws and saying this drug is illegal. They don't have the ability to create laws that says, you know, if you kidnap and go across state lines, that's a federal offense. That's nice, you know, having laws like that. But the only way they can have the FBI, the Department of Justice, and managing all of those laws is for the states to delegate that authority to them. That's why if you read the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, you will realize that they were trying to create this law of political speech controlling that. And Thomas Jefferson and James Madison clearly said, you only have the delegated power over only these laws. You can't just make up new laws. We never delegated that to you, and we didn't submit to an unlimited, you know, or a general government to allow you to just do anything you want to do. The sub-bullet for three is the general government possesses the supremacy over those objects delegated by the states within the Constitution and ratified amendments, and only those objects. And if you see Article 6 of the Constitution, that is where you will find the supremacy clause. And Article 6, the supremacy clause, basically states, the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, in other words, made because they're harmonious with the objects within it, and all treaties, because remember, all constitutionally ratified treaties become constitutional as well, or shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. That's why I keep on throwing this out here. The Civil Rights Act, was that an amendment to the Constitution? No. Was that a treaty with the foreign nations and entities? No. It is just legislation, that noble legislation that Congress has provided, and it is only the law of the District of Columbia, because that is the only place where Congress and the federal government has full jurisdiction over. In other words, the civil rights, there is no jurisdiction for the civil rights to be applied to any of the states. Sorry. I know there's lots of people that get really upset about this. That is the technicality of the Constitution, and that is literally what has to happen. If you want to apply the civil rights to all states, you have to amend the Constitution. My suggestion is never doing that, but applying and amending the state constitutions to model after those things. It is better and easier to change your state than it is to try to get everybody, to conscript everybody into an ideology. And the other real problem is that sometimes these types of bills, like we've seen from the Civil Rights Act, they're trying to sneak in sexual orientation and all sorts of other abominations with these types of things to say, oh, we mean this too. I'm sorry. That's why we don't want to amend the Constitution. Let you deal with that at the states and keep it down at the state level. The next sub-bullet. Accordingly, the states delegated specific, defined, and limited roles, responsibilities, and powers within the contract, in other words, the Constitution, to the general government. And the general government was constrained per the contract from doing anything that was not specifically delegated to it within the contract. Again, see Article 6 and the 9th and 10th Amendments. Both or all three of these actually support this whole premise that they can't do anything until the states delegate that power to them. The fourth bullet. The only way the general government can constitutionally obtain a new role, responsibility, or power is by requesting that the states delegate the desired RRP to them. The general government via an amendment to the Constitution. See Article 5 in accordance with the Article 5 process. And so what is really important is that when the federal government feels that they need to be able to do something because they just think it's necessary and proper, then they have the ability to request that they obtain a new role, responsibility, and power by basically submitting via 2/3 of both houses an amendment to the Constitution, and in passing by 2/3 or more in each house, that amendment then goes out to the states to say, let's create a Department of Labor. Did you know in 1926 with the President Calvin Coolidge, who was a huge progressive, he loved big labor, wanted to see the Department of Labor created, was a champion for this amendment, and basically that amendment went out to the states. And that amendment came right back rejected by the majority of the states. The states recognized that this was going to be a big injection and assertion. What ended up happening from the 1920s to the 30s is the states rolled over because they were literally being crushed by a depression. As Madison says in the 1817 veto, regardless of whether the states accept an unconstitutional usurpation of power or not, it is still unconstitutional and can be overturned at any point in time. So don't count your laurels, or don't start counting your chickens from these eggs, because that they're riding on unconstitutional usurpations. The Department of Labor, the Department of Health and Human Services, Education, Welfare, all of these things are all unconstitutional. What that means is when we start auditing this process, when we start this Republic Review process, which is the audit, what all these unconstitutional departments and roles, responsibilities, and powers are going to be put on the table, and the states are going to have to put on their big boy britches and big girl britches and say, do we want to let them continue to do this? And if they don't recognize the empirical evidence, such as what the Department of Interior with the BLM and some of these other agencies have been doing, going around taxing people and basically attacking good citizens, are you kidding me? Why would we want to actually legitimize their ability to oppress us? That's just a question, just a rhetorical question, right? Okay, so bullet 5, and I really don't have time because I just realized I've got maybe 2 seconds left here, so I apologize, but we'll have to get into the rest of these bullets when we come back from break, so please stay tuned, and I'm going to go from 5 down through the rest of them as soon as we get back. So again, I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, bullet or item 5 in this outline, the general welfare and defense, the commerce, the necessary and proper, and the supremacy clauses are not ambiguous portals for the general government to assume new roles, responsibilities, and powers. These clauses only and strictly apply to the enumerated roles, responsibilities, and powers within the Constitution and ratified amendments. For supporting this, I would ask that you look at Article 6, because that's where you find the Supremacy Clause. I would ask you to look at Article 1, Section 8, which is where you find the Necessary and Proper Clause. Clearly, in both of those clauses, they point to the validity of where those powers lie, and those powers only lie for the Necessary and Proper in the foregoing powers listed in Article Section 8, or Article 1, Section 8. And in Article 6, it clearly states that they only apply to those enumerated objects within the Constitution and within ratified treaties, period. The general welfare, as well as the Commerce Clause, if you go into the ratification debates, if you go into Madison's veto of the 1817 bonus bill, as well as Federalist Papers, you will find, and so the only one out of all of these citations or only supporting documents that I'm pointing you to that is really not official are the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers were just literally papers that were written, but they had no official capacity. They were informational, but no official capacity. The ratification debates, the testimony sworn and given during the ratification debates, that was done in an official capacity. So that's why those are legally binding appendages to the Constitution. Madison's veto of the 1817 bonus bill was an official capacity act by the president vetoing a bill from Congress identifying what they were doing as unconstitutional. Article 6, as well as Article 1, Section 8, are also official, if I have to even say that. The Constitution, of course, is official. So I'm trying to highlight that this isn't just a bunch of words that is saying this, you know, you can't do this or you have to do this or what have you. The documents I'm pointing to are actually legally supported documents that absolutely support these arguments. So the next bullet, or the item six, is the politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, officials, professors, and persons claiming profound understanding of the Constitution within and even outside of the general government since 1791 have used lies, deceit, and I use 1791 because it was in 1792 and the beginning of 91 when they started trying to get the Assumption Act moving and creating the first bank. And Hamilton literally used lies in trying to use implied powers and so forth. And in doing that, that was the beginning of, like I just listed, all these politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, and so forth, who used lies and deceit and collusion to convince the states to allow them the ability to assume unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers without following the systematic or codified process within Article 5 of the Constitution. And so if you look again at the ratification debates, Madison's veto, 1817, the Federalist Papers, and oh, by the way, George Washington's farewell address, they all clearly state that you have to follow the Article 5 process, period. Any other way or mechanism is usurpation. And those are Washington's words. He literally calls that usurpations. So the sub-bullet that supports this is this: therefore, all roles, responsibilities, and powers that are being exercised that cannot be found within the Constitution and the ratified amendments are blatant or palpable, whichever word you prefer, violations of the Constitution and usurpations of states' roles, responsibilities, and powers and sovereignty. To support this, see the ratification debates, Madison's veto of the Bonus Bill, Federalist Papers, and so forth. For almost two centuries, here's the final sub-bullet that supports this bullet six. For almost two centuries, the general government and public servants at all levels have failed to comply with the Constitution as ratified. They have undercut it, undermined it, and literally done more damage to it than it is even worth mentioning. But they have created such a mess that only the states, and I literally mean this, only the states possess the power to be able to clean up this mess that they've created. And believe me, we need this mess cleaned up because they are spending us into oblivion. I'm sure you understand this. So bullet seven, and I love this one. Inherent within contract law is the ability of the principal stakeholders of the contract to audit their contract. Therefore, only the states possess the authority to and must validate all roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised by the general government to confirm that all roles, responsibilities, and powers that have been established since the 1798 ratification of the Constitution were properly delegated by the states by adhering to the Article 5 process. And if you want to go look at the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. Why? Well, those aren't the federal official documents. No. These are official documents written by the stakeholders asserting their authority. That completely supports this. Okay, so sub-bullet to this sub-bullet, this must be done in a formal audit process. Except for the original three executive departments, State, Treasury, and Defense, or at the time, War, and the General Accounting Office, because they were defined as necessary and proper within the enumerated roles, responsibilities, and powers in the founding of the general government, and nothing more. In other words, Any other agency entity, such as Wilson's, Office of Arts, and all of these other ex-presidents' little boondoggles, and EPA, all of those things are all violations, and they all need to be scrutinized. And you will find that they did not follow the Article 5 process, which means they go onto the table to be cut and removed, or that the federal government recommend amendments. But I'm going to tell you, I do not think that any of these things will ever come back as amendments. And there's reasons for that, and I'll get to that. If, and this is the final sub-bullet for bullet seven, if there is no amendment for the role, responsibility, and power, such as the department, agency, office, or administrative entity, then these roles, responsibilities, and powers and entities are unconstitutional. Okay, so now what do you do? Well, so bullet eight kind of gets into the action plan. Action plan to ensure, or eight, to ensure that this audit has the full force of the Republic, a simple majority of 26 states must coalesce and together with their authority as the stakeholders of the contract to rebuke the general government and use the force of the Constitution to gain compliance with the Constitution by the general government. Now, I want you to understand what happens when you have 26 states. Well, that means that you've got a majority of the states, just a simple majority. But you've also got that simple majority over those senators that are in the federal government, as well as Congress. Now, Congress is apportioned by population. I get that. And a lot of these states are pretty sparsely populated, Wyoming, Dakotas, and so forth. We may have to go to 28 states. I just kind of threw the simple majority because that really will change the makeup of the Senate. But I want you to know we do not have to fire a bullet in getting the federal government to comply. All they have to do, all these public servants have to hear, is that the states are now declaring any support for any agency, entity, power, role, or responsibility that has not been properly ratified is unconstitutional and treasonous. Therefore, any senator or congressperson or anybody that is supporting, funding, working in, or what have you, can be identified as treason and be charged. And there's nothing that will keep the states from actually having every one of these guys extradited. And I ask that you read Article 4 of the Constitution because the states have the power to charge people with treason and have them extradited to their state. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it just a perfect plan? It's almost like the good Lord knew exactly what we needed in this contract to give us everything we need to fix it. Is that a coincidence? I ask you. I do not think so. There's no doubt in my mind the divine hand of providence knew exactly what he was doing. So sub bullet to eight is it is preferred that all states participate in Republic Review, and it is anticipated that over 30 states will join in Republic Review. And so I'm going to have to highlight this, so we'll redo eight tomorrow because it's the action plan. I am out of time, but I am reclaiming the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley, and I need your help. And I hope this helps motivate you as you start, as we walk through this plan. God bless. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.